The gospel lesson for this first Sunday in the season of Advent comes from the end of Jesus' ministry. This is during Holy Week, and Jesus is teaching his disciples, and suddenly his teaching takes a very cataclysmic tone, apocalyptic tone, as he is trying to prepare them for the expectations of events to come. Now listen to these words of the teachings of Jesus, often referred to as the little apocalypse. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all of these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. May God bless to us this, for it is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here we are, the first Sunday of Advent. And what the dickens is Advent? Obviously, I'm referring to Charles Dickens. He's a popular fellow this time of year. Particularly in recent years, there's just been plethora. There's been a plethora of versions of A Christmas Carol. We love the happy resolution, Tiny Tim raised on Bob Cratchit's shoulders, saying, God bless us, everyone. There have been literally hundreds of interpretations from the 1901 silent film version. How did he say, God bless us, everyone, in a silent version? I don't know. To the 1951 classic with Alastair Sim. Not to mention the well-known George C. Scott Scrooge, to Mr. Magoo, the Muppets, and Kelsey Grammer singing and dancing his way through the Hallmark TV production. So, plays of various types and quality abound. It seems to be portrayed as what the Christmas season itself is supposed to be all about. So, how is that Advent? Since Dickens' Christmas Carol is used to broad-stroke Christmas for the entire month of December. By contrast, Advent seems reflective and quiet, or, as in today's reading, loudly prophetic, perhaps as dark with foreboding as the winter sky. Can Dickens be Advent too? Well, maybe we forget that before the prized turkey appears on the Cratchit table, there's a scrawny fowl. That's what Scrooge sees on that table in his nightmarish journey. So have we popularized and sanitized Dickens and Christmas too much? There's one preacher that suggests Advent is the perfect time to review Dickens. He wrote, Dickens' classic holiday tale, A Christmas Carol, is a story replete with social criticism. Throughout, the author offers scathing commentary on the treatment of the poor and harsh words for his society's failure to educate the neediest children, thus compounding the problem of poverty. The images that Dickens uses to convey his criticism are boldly unpleasant. At one point, he describes craven, disturbed children with sunken cheeks clinging to the shins of the ghosts of Christmas present. Although powerful, rarely do these most difficult bits of Dickens' masterpiece make it into our holiday productions, he writes. Perhaps we do have a tendency to edit the apocalyptic from our lives. If that is so, then perhaps Advent begins with this apocalyptic vision to jolt us out of our safe isolations, to plunge into the midst of a scary world. In this, the vivid and frightening images of apocalyptic texts compel us to consider the ruinous power of evil and the plight of those in its terrible path. On this first Sunday in Advent, we celebrate our Lord's table. We spiritually gather at the table of our Lord with our newly installed decorations of the season, and we have the beautiful table setting, and it's very orderly and peaceful, very Presbyterian. Yet that may not be the table that is set in all of our hearts. You know, if you have read a lot of Dickens, you know he used the table image well to remind us that we are in many different places when together we sit at table. Some are festive and well-fed by food and circumstance, while others hold the hollow feeling of grief and despair and aimlessness while table conversation carries on around them, unaware of their need or their hurts. We need to be aware, an Advent theme, to be aware of not only what the table offers, but what it is that we bring to the table. So in this, we would do well to listen to the lessons we've learned from Dickens. In grade school, I was an avid reader of Dickens' novels, and an impression was certainly made. I still remember my nightmares at the creepy table of Great Expectations, Miss Havisham. Dust and cobwebs layered upon a feast that has set for years or decades, with spiders and roaches and dark shadows setting the mood on that table. And what of young Oliver Twist, who dares to raise his empty plate toward Fagin, hunger overcoming caution, saying, "Please, sir, I want some more." So the table, it's a powerful symbol. The powerful symbol of where our lives meet reality in the world, and the relationships that push us to and fro, a table across which we may share a feast of plenty or a scrap of bread. Now, when Jesus gathered with his disciples on that Thursday Last Supper, most likely celebrating the Passover meal, the table on one level represented Passover, a journey taken from bondage in Egypt to freedom, even though ironically, they were eating that Passover meal under the iron fist of the Roman occupation. Yet, Jesus was thinking of a different journey ahead for himself. A body soon to be broken, blood in a few days' time spilled. And he was thinking of the apocalyptic expectation of the prophets of Israel that he was repeating, of a great messianic banquet for all of the world's people to gather in the kingdom of God at God's culmination of human history and God's restoration of the creation. And the disciples, well, they missed both of those tables. The table of sacrifice and the table of salvation, they missed it because they were not prepared. They were not alert or awake to the coming of the real Christ. The question we have to always ask ourselves is, are we prepared? And what if we prepared differently this year? A couple of years ago, my attention was called to a project that was called Advent Conspiracy. Have you ever heard of that? Well, you have now. Advent Conspiracy was started by a group of Christians who discovered that in those days, a few years ago, Americans were spending over $450 billion, $450 billion every year buying Christmas presents. You know what I just heard the figure is for this year? Over a trillion dollars. They also learned that the greatest health problem in the world today is lack of clean water, and that it would cost $10 billion to solve that problem. See, $1 trillion, $10 billion. And they dared to ask, for all we spend, are we any more fulfilled? Do we play at Christmas while we yearn for Advent? And they wondered, what if we bought just one less Christmas gift this year? You know, the sweater that is never going to be worn, the candle that will never be lit or taken out of the box, the knickknack that's going to be returned the day after Christmas for credit. They wondered, what if we took the money saved by not buying that gift and gave it to someone in need, like folks who need clean water, or maybe the Heifer Project, or maybe fair trade crafts from developing countries. They wondered, since Christmas began with a group of people who worshiped Christ, what if we conspired together to begin the season of preparation by fully engaging in worship and encouraging everyone we know to do so? What if we conspired to buy less, but give more? What if we conspired to love each other? You know, things like if you've had a conflict with a friend, offer forgiveness and seek reconciliation as quickly as possible. Don't let it simmer until it poisons your whole outlook and makes it uncomfortable to be in the other person's presence. Maybe live peaceably with each other. What difference would it make in our life and our world if we tried to live in peace, wholeness, shalom? And so the Advent Conspiracy was originated and designed to help us live well as we anticipate the coming of Christ. And so, since this is a meditation, I'm just going to give you some homework for this Advent journey. I want you to either go online and either type into Google or your browser of choice, Advent Conspiracy. That's it, Advent Conspiracy. Or you can type into it, www.adventconspiracy.org. And if you have no idea what I just said, call me. If you're still using a flip phone, you know who you are. Call me on the flip phone. But go to that website and let it challenge your Advent and move you to conspire a bit this year. Wouldn't it be nice to have a nice conspiracy? Watch the videos. They're fun. Have fun dreaming of ways to be less robotically consumptive and more human. Give something different to others. Give yourself. Put a bow on your head if you have to. But that's your assignment. Today we come to a table. We come in our hearts, in our faith, in our need, in our hope. A table of Jesus Christ spread with a promise and a challenge. Do we know what to do at this table? Yeah, we do. One of my very favorite Gary Larson Far Side cartoons, I love the Far Side, is this one. In it, there's a very nerdy-looking boy who's trying to enter the door of the Midvale School for the Gifted. You know this one? He's carrying a book under one arm, and he's leaning and pushing with his other arm with all his weight against the door, straining, trying to push open the door. And on the door, there is a big sign that says in big letters, "Pull." So, friends, we know what to do. Don't push. pull, open the door that lets the Christ of Advent come into our lives, into our homes, into our church, into our community, and into our world with the promise of hope. For those at the table with much to give, God bless us, everyone. For those at the table who yearn for more, please, I want some more. And for those who embody what the Dickens Advent prepares us to become, share that Advent. Share that hope and peace and joy and love with all. That's your homework. Let us pray. Gracious God, for this season, we are grateful. Wake us up. In the midst of our busyness in the season, help us to hear your voice, to sense your presence, to worship you, to serve you in both word and deed. For this we pray in the name of the one who comes to us every day, Jesus the Christ.